You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Who Dat Nation and Who Dat family? Welcome into this Film Watch Wednesday episode of Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is a refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. The news around Drew Brees' injuries continue to pile on. We've got a quick update to open up the show as the future Hall of Famer takes the next steps in his process to recovery and explore how many times he's been hit this season. Then we'll take a look at how this offense should look differently, for better or for worse, against the Falcons, what could happen with Winston under center, and why matching up with Atlanta actually plays to his and Taysom Hill's favor. Then we'll wrap up with our Film Watch Wednesday, three impact plays from Sunday's win against the San Francisco 49ers, and what Football Outsiders is calling one of the best run defenses in NFL history. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson Nola on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host of Locked On NFL. We got all that and a little bit of lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. The New Orleans Saints have released their first Week 11 injury report for the Wednesday practice ahead of their matchup at home against the Atlanta Falcons. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. The New Orleans Saints list five players without participation in Wednesday's practice, the first practice of the week heading into their matchup against the division rival Atlanta Falcons. Those players are tight end Josh Hill and wide receiver Tre'Quan Smith, both dealing with concussions. Drew Brees, unsurprisingly, with a right shoulder and rib, and I guess you can say lung injury as well. Dwayne Washington, who missed last week's game, was inactive with a back injury, seems to still be dealing with that same issue. He was also listed as did not participate. And Cam Jordan, also dealing with a back injury, listed without participation in this game. Cam Jordan tends to have very successful games against the Atlanta Falcons, so missing him in this one, as he's been trying to get more and more in the swing of things coming back from his adductor surgery over the offseason, for the Saints defensive line, who have done a great job generating pressure with their front four, just with their down linemen being able to add some pressure from that second level. But it'll be interesting to see if the Saints have to go without Cam Jordan, how they utilize their mix of edge rushers with Marcus Davenport, Trey Hendrickson, and Carl Granderson. Maybe even a guy like Zach Bond may get a little bit involved in that instance as well. So it'll be very interesting to see how the Saints deal with that if they have to go without Cam Jordan. But still, it is only Wednesday, so we'll see what his status looks like on Thursday and Friday. The Saints also had four players that were listed as limited, with tackle Ryan Ramczyk dealing with a knee injury, defensive tackle Malcolm Brown dealing with a calf injury for which he left the San Francisco 49ers game in the third quarter, Alvin Kamara out with a foot, or excuse me, limited with a foot injury. That was an injury that he had last week as well. He likened it to stubbing his toe in the middle of the night in terms of what it felt like. So that could be that same injury that just maybe we've forgotten about, but hasn't completely gone all the way away yet. And then Marshon Lattimore, who had to leave the game with an abdomen oblique injury, dealing with that same injury and was limited on Wednesday. Not really a big surprise with any of these four players being limited at the moment. They'll, of course, though, be big names to watch. Ryan Ramczyk being one of your anchors on the offensive line. Malcolm Brown had a great game up against the San Francisco 49ers while he was available and is a part of that very important defensive line rotation. Running back Alvin Kamara still looking to score his first touchdown against the Atlanta Falcons. He hasn't done it so far in his career, so we want that foot to heal up very quickly so he can get out there and be ready for this game. And then Marshon Lattimore seems like he'll be okay. He was in the locker room dancing a club dub after the win over the 49ers. But regardless of that, it'll be worth watching his status and tracking that over the Thursday and Friday injury reports, as he has a big matchup ahead of him with a division rival, whether he be lined up across from Calvin Ridley or Julio Jones at any given moment. And speaking of Calvin Ridley, he did rejoin the Falcons after being sort of in and out of the lineup over the last couple of weeks with his injury. He was back in practice, limited on Wednesday. It's good news for the Falcons, not great news for the New Orleans Saints, who were given nightmares by Calvin Ridley just a few years ago, but have fared pretty well against him as of late. We've seen this defense so far want to step up against top competition. They certainly look like they'll be headed against top competition for the Atlanta Falcons this weekend, or at least top competition that the Falcons have to offer. As for the remainder of their injury report, the Falcons did list right tackle Caleb McGarry as full, and they listed right tackle Matt Gano with an illness and did not get the opportunity to participate. Now, that means that Caleb McGarry would be back in the lineup, so the Falcons looking at potentially having their starter back at the right tackle position, who would be matched up against Cam Jordan should he be healthy. If not, then again, that rotation of Trey Hendrickson, Marcus Davenport, Carl Granderson, and anyone else that gets involved in the pass rushing game. Keep an eye out on Quan Alexander, not necessarily in that edge role, but as a blitzing linebacker along with DeMario Davis as well, to be a part of that scheme if Caleb McGarry, the young right tackle, is in and Cam Jordan happens to be out. So we'll continue to get more updates and information on that injury report with Thursday and Friday's practices still left to go. Of course, we'll update you here on Locked On Saints for Thursday's injury report on Friday's episode, which will also have as a special guest on the show, Saints legend Deuce McAllister, former running back, and of course, doing all of the game commentary on the New Orleans Saints for WWL Radio as well. So excited to have him come in, talk a little bit about the deep shot to his offenses used to take when he was around for New Orleans and how some of those concepts may creep in with Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill at quarterback. And of course, talking a bit about the Saints running backs, offensive line, and their matchup against the Falcons. So we'll preview all of that with Deuce McAllister's help during tomorrow's episode as we roll into the weekend. But coming up next, we're already jumping into our previews. We had our crossover Thursday in segments 2 and 3 coming up with myself and Aaron Freeman talking about this very familiar matchup and divisional matchup coming up on Sunday, the New Orleans Saints versus the Atlanta Falcons. Got that coming up for you next here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Don't forget, of course, that this football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you may watch this season. Aaron, how are you going to be watching this Saints-Falcons game this weekend?
Well, you know, I'll get me an ice cold Pepsi, crack it open, and just key in on Andrus Pete going up against Grady Jarrett. I feel like that's going to be a favorable matchup this weekend, watching that on the big screen, a 40-inch screen I have at home.
The big 40-inch, right? That's going to be me too, doing the exact same thing, sitting there with my Pepsi, enjoying this game. I will actually be a lot more comfortable about Grady Jarrett up against Andrus Pete. I think one of the biggest concerns would be Grady Jarrett up against rookie Cesar Ruiz. So any of that interior defensive line pressure is something I'm going to be watching very, very closely. And thankfully, I have that cold Pepsi in my hand because I'm going to need it to warm down the fever too while I'm getting a little nervous over there. But Pepsi is that refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, everybody, it is crossover Thursday. You got myself, Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints, and my good friend, good buddy, good pal, Aaron Freeman at FalcFans on Twitter, host of the Locked On Falcons podcast. It is, I'm sure, Falcons hate week for Saints fans, Saints hate week for Falcon fans. It's a glorious week, and we get to do this twice in 3 weeks on top of that. But let's get started with the first crossover episode of the year for Aaron and I, and get to breaking down this Saints and Falcons matchup. First and foremost, Aaron, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be hating somebody this week as we get to.
There's a positivity behind it because we've made it this far. Yeah. For sure. So let's take a look at this matchup. The first thing I'm going to ask about is the Falcons injury report. Calvin Ridley's been dealing with some injuries on and off, and Calvin Ridley has been a Saints killer in the past. What's his status so far, and what's the expectation for Calvin Ridley getting involved on Sunday?
Well, the Falcons are saying kind of all the right things that makes it seem like Ridley is on, you know, schedule to play this weekend. Mm-hmm. And so right now he was limited in Wednesday's practice. We'll sort of see how that continues going into the week. But right now I'm at least as optimistic as I can be that he will play on Sunday, even if he's not necessarily at full capacity. But I think he'll have a presence in this game.
Yeah, I hear that. You know, the Saints, of course, dealing with their own injury issues, a ton of injuries that took place last week in their 27-13 victory against the San Francisco 49ers. One of the key ones, of course, being one that I'm sure we'll talk about here in a bit once we get over to talking about the Saints. But just to break in and have the introduction a bit, the Saints probably going to be going in without Drew Brees, or definitely going in without Drew Brees in this game, but probably going with Jameis Winston at the helm. What is the Falcons feeling sort of around this situation, and how confident could that Falcons defense maybe be feeling knowing that they'll be going up against Jameis Winston as opposed to Drew Brees?
Yeah, it's interesting because Jameis Winston, when he was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was a historic Falcon killer. Mm-hmm. When you look at his numbers against the Falcons over those 5 years in Tampa Bay versus his numbers against literally any other defense in the NFL, his passer rating was something like 25 points higher against the Falcons mm-hmm. than it was. Essentially, he put up Drew Brees-like numbers from an efficiency standpoint against the Falcons defense for basically 5 years. So while for most teams, I think they would be licking their chops, oh, Drew Brees is going to be out of lineup, I think the Falcons especially may not sort of feel like they have gotten, you know, a favorable matchup with this game based off of how Jameis Winston has performed against him. And then you couple that with the fact that now he has Sean Payton calling his plays as mm-hmm. opposed to Dirk Cutter and Todd Monken, not to take anything away from those guys. But, you know, I think most people agree and recognize that Sean Payton is among the elite play callers in the NFL. And we saw what he did last year with Teddy Bridgewater, with the Saints going 5-0 and sort of, you know, tailoring that offense and making slight adjustments for that offense to fit Bridgewater. The expectation is that he'll find ways to make it fit with Jameis Winston. Whether that's going to be him sort of keeping Jameis from being himself, which is, you know, a little bit more of a, that gunslinger, which has worked mm-hmm. out in his favor against the Falcons, I think remains to be seen. But certainly I don't know if the Falcons are going to be breathing as much a sigh of relief. But I think the one thing going in the Falcons' favor is that the last couple of weeks, the Falcons' pass rush has heavily relied on their ability to blitz and bring extra pressure as opposed to just trying to get pressure with four. And I think doing that against Drew Brees was probably going to be a lot more problematic than it would be with Jameis Winston. So I mm-hmm. do think that is one variable that potentially plays into the Falcons' favor.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Jameis Winston does tend historically to hold on to the ball longer than Drew Brees. But as you mentioned, we'll see what happens with him being a part of this system. I want to talk a little bit about the big change that's happened for the Atlanta Falcons. Of course, you and I talked ahead of the season about, you know, we were fairly certain that Dan Quinn wasn't going to make it to the end of the season. And if he did, that they probably wouldn't be going forward with him next season. Now Raheem Morris is in as their interim head coach. And there's been a little bit of a turnaround. EPA over on the offensive side, defense is playing a little bit better. The pass rush is coming alive, utilizing those blitzes. What are some of the most, effective changes that you've seen so far with this team? And what should Saints fans expect to see different about the Atlanta Falcons than what they saw early on in the season?
Well, I think the, you know, we already touched upon their blitzing more. That's really only really started in week 8 after, mm-hmm. I think, in part due to their sort of another fourth quarter collapse that they had against the Lions in week 7. And in that game, they were relying a lot more on sort of rushing four and dropping back into zone. And I think the Falcons sort of made the change in the last couple of games to be a little bit more aggressive, throwing more blitzes, more zone blitzes, not just sort of simple man coverage blitzes, which is the norm in the NFL, mixing up their pressure concepts, whether that fourth man or fifth man is a linebacker or a safety or a corner. They've been a lot more sort of versatile on that end. So I think that's the main change in the defense, and it's worked out in their favor the last couple of weeks, especially going up against lesser quarterbacks like a Drew Lock. On offense, I think the main change has been they've been a lot more potent offense, and I think a lot of that is owed to the return of Julio Jones to the lineup. He's been a big part of why this offense has been so effective as of late, and it's led guys like Calvin Ridley, who got off to a very hot start in this season, but sort of went into a little bit of a lull once, you know, coincidentally, not so coincidentally, when Julio Jones got hurt around week 3. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ridley just works better as a number two, where he's not necessarily drawing the bracket coverage and drawing the bulk of the attention. Julio getting that bracket coverage, getting that attention, getting those doubles, and letting Ridley sort of cook those one-on-ones attention that Julio draws affords Ridley has allowed this offense to be more effective. You're seeing the Falcons being a little bit better, you know, getting the ball to Hayden Hurst. He's been a lot more effective. Instead of trying to push the ball down the field, they've been doing a lot more sort of dink and dunk stuff and letting him, you know, make plays after the catch. It's allowed guys like Russell Gage to be more effective, because in those games without Julio Jones, he was more of the sort of number two, but he's more naturally a number three, and he's been more productive in recent weeks. The run game hasn't been as effective as of late as it was earlier in the season. So that's one of the things that the Falcons are going to need to try to get going. But their passing game has been pretty effective, largely thanks, I think, to the presence of Julio Jones, making all the other pieces fit better.
How have the young guys on the offensive line developed over the course of the season to help with all of that?
Yeah, that's been another area where we've seen improvement, particularly from right guard Chris Lindstrom, who was the team's top pick in 2019. And Lindstrom has really, you know, I think Pro Football Focus is grading him as like the ninth best guard in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. He got off to a little bit of a slow start early in the season, in the first month of the season, but has really turned it on. And his run blocking, not only as well as his pass protection, has been very effective. Caleb McGarry got off to a pretty good start this season, sort of has taken a step back the last 2 weeks. Going up against guys like Brian Burns, and then struggled a little bit, surprisingly, against the Broncos, where he wasn't facing Bradley Chubb. He was facing the other guy, and Malik Reed, who sort of stepped in for Von Miller, and you would expect that to be a more favorable matchup, but he struggled in that game, and he's going to go up against Cam Jordan this week. So I think this week and a couple of other matchups he has coming up are going to be really good litmus tests to sort of see how really far he's come, because he just, you know, part of it has been he hasn't faced sort of elite competition so far this season, with injuries to guys like Danielle Hunter and Von Miller. And he missed the Bears game, so he didn't get to go against Khalil Mack either. So, you know, coming up, he's going to face some really good players like Cam Jordan, although I know he's dealing with some injuries. So, you know, that would take a load off my mind. But I think the Falcons offensive line has made strides, particularly at right side. And, you know, their left tackle, Jake Matthews, has been steady as they come. Left guard, James Carpenter, who really struggled in 2019, has made strides. He's still probably the weakest link of that unit. You know, their center and Alex Mack is not playing at the sort of elite level that he played at, you know, a couple of years ago, but he's still, you know, doing a solid job. And, you know, it's allowed their offensive line to be more effective. I wouldn't call it good yet, mm-hmm. but, you know, when they're able to run behind Chris Lindstrom, which is one of the things they like to do, is pull him across the line and run some power runs. And that's been pretty effective for them. Some of the relatively rare times where their running game has been clicking the last couple of weeks has been those types of runs.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought up the run game, because that was one of my closing question for you, because the Saints have done a very good job with the defensive line, getting pressure with just the guys along the defensive line. And as another part of that, they've done a very good job against the run defense. Football Outsiders noting them as one of the best run defenses that they've seen so far through 10 weeks since 1999, and, you know, within that top 10 range for them. How have the Falcons fared so far if forced to be a one-dimensional team and only having to pass? I mean, it's not like they lack for a passing attack, but how have they fared all told as a one-dimensional team?
Well, I mean, you can make the argument that they've been pretty one-dimensional. I think Football Outsiders has them, like, last I checked, they were like 31st in rushing offense. Mm-hmm. So they run they are quote unquote committed to the run, but they're not really effective running the football. I think it's been somewhat an element of them trying to control the clock. They've really kind of been effective with time of possession the last couple of weeks. I think they're actually leading the NFL over the last four games in total time of possession. So, you know, they're using their run game to sort of control the ball and sort of keep their defense off the field. I think if they were to basically get into a straight drop back passing game, particularly if they were playing from behind, obviously, I don't think that would be as effective as having a little bit more balance in their offense. But given that the strength of this offense has been their passing game, I don't feel like it's going to be them playing as sort of left-handed, as they say, as you would perceive with other teams.
That's good. I think this is going to be a very fun game, and we've got a lot more to talk about. Aaron's got some questions for me over from the Saints perspective, which we'll get to here in just a moment on our Crossover Thursday, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, we are still continuing today's Crossover Thursday. Of course, Aaron Freeman here of Locked On Falcons, joined by Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. And Ross, flipping sides, talking a little bit more about the Saints side of this matchup. You know, we talked a little bit about how the Falcons feel about Jameis Winston starting. I guess from your perspective, how do you sort of feel about Jameis Winston starting, specifically on the notion of, I think, the criticism that a lot of people have had for the Saints offense, which is it's a little too dink and dunk with Drew Brees. Do you feel like Sean Payton is going to be able to dial up that sort of vertical element that Jameis Winston embraced fully in Tampa Bay the last 5 years? Or do you think he's going to try to make it a safer, shorter passing game and sort of limit the risk of Jameis Winston turning the ball over as he was so prone to do in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I think there has to be a nice balance in between the two of those mentalities, right? For Coach Payton, probably with the scripted plays early on, the first 15 to 20 plays, you'll probably see a lot more of that, maybe dink and dunk and then a shot play every now and then. The thing that's really interesting about the Saints offense is that the downfield shots in terms of the route concepts have been there. It's just that obviously Drew Brees isn't looking to put the ball down, you know, down there, or he's using that as his first read and then quickly moving on from it if it's not ready in the time that he wants to get the ball out of his hand. Jameis Winston probably a little bit more likely to hold on to the ball, wait for that look to develop and see if he can get it down the field. So if you see any of those three level concepts, he just may be more willing to take advantage of that deep route that's already there. But I do think that they'll certainly dial up some of those shots and take advantage of it. It's not like Sean Payton doesn't have that in his playbook, right? I mean, that was Drew Brees from 2006 through 2016. I would even say through 2015, probably more fair. You know, those shots are going to be there. They have the plays for it. Now they actually have an opportunity to be able to take advantage of it with Jameis Winston and potentially even with Taysom Hill as well, who we've already seen them put in the game to have him take some of those deep shots at other points throughout the season. It'll be interesting to see just how much both of these quarterbacks see time.
Yeah, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that. My assumption has been Jameis Winston will get the bulk of the snaps, but you'll probably see an even heavier dose of Taysom Hill in the lineup this week than you have seen in past weeks with Drew Brees as a starting quarterback. Is that where your thought process is as well?
Yeah, I'm honestly a little unsure about where it goes. And I think that you could see them do like they did with Teddy, to where, you know, Teddy Bridgewater took over as a starting quarterback, and then all of a sudden Taysom Hill's snaps dropped to like 4-6. I think it was 15, 11, and 13 over those five games. And so you saw those snaps actually decrease from where he was earlier on in the season, where he was between 15 and 21 those first two games, and return to that rhythm later on in the season. So I could see them doing that same thing just for the sake of keeping Taysom Hill healthy in case, you know, worst case scenario, something happens to Jameis Winston and you need the backups backup. So I could see them going that route. But the part that makes me a little bit unsure about it is that when you look at the Saints injury report from Wednesday, no surprise, Josh Hill and Tre'Quan Smith both did not practice. They both had concussions. Tre'Quan Smith took a nasty shot to the helmet in that game against the 49ers, and Josh Hill also had to leave with a concussion. Both of those guys very fundamentally involved, I mean, very foundationally involved, excuse me, to the run game. And I think that not having specifically Josh Hill available, if they can't have him available, could end up forcing more snaps for Taysom Hill because he's somebody that could get involved in that area of the game. The other mentality behind it too is that, look, you've got Jameis Winston out there. You want to give him every weapon possible. Taysom Hill is absolutely one of those weapons.
Now, you mentioned some of those role players like a Josh Hill, like a Tre'Quan Smith. And one of the things I noticed with the Saints in that, what, 6-7 week absence where Michael Thomas was out of the lineup, They did a great job sort of spreading the ball around. It kind of became the Alvin Kamara offense. And it was, you know, here, sprinkle of Tre'Quan, a sprinkle of Emmanuel Sanders, and some other playmakers. I noticed last week it sort of became a very Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara-centric offense, and you didn't really see them getting the ball to other playmakers. Do you think that's a reflection of the, sort of the big change at the quarterback position, and they sort of streamlined their offense a little bit? Or do you feel like that's maybe a pattern that may be repeating itself, particularly this week? And do you feel like that's something that you need to be worried about? Is this a Saints offense that can sort of thrive with just basically being the Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara show, or do they need to sort of spread the ball around?
I think that they need to spread the ball around. I mean, we watched them just 2 weeks ago complete and tie a modern day NFL era of completing passes to 12 different players. And of course, Jameis Winston was a part of that because he completed the pass to the 12th player in Michael Burton late in the game when he came in to run the clock out against the Buccaneers. But I think that what you saw against the San Francisco 49ers was that he started to spread the ball around, Jameis Winston did, when he went 6-for-6 to open it up, and the, you know, passes are a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage. But then after he got sacked twice in a row, you saw him really just sort of key into where Michael Thomas was on the field and sort of treat him in the same way that he used to treat Mike Evans, where it was just, I'm going to panic and I'm going to look for my number one guy. And so I think that you have to get him away from that. And I think these other players around him, once now he has an absolute, you know, he's a part of the install, he's a part of the game plan coming in throughout the entire week, that obviously makes a difference. But there are going to be some of those other role players that are going to be able to be effective that he already has some communication and some time with in terms of him practicing with second, you know, first, second team guys like Adam Trautman, as well as Marquez Callaway, the undrafted free agent rookie out of Tennessee, who stepped up big time in Michael Thomas's absence, and especially the couple of games where they were without Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. Same thing for Tre'Quan Smith, if he can get back out on the field, but also take a look at Deontay Harris, who has been the deep shot design guy for the Saints so far throughout the season. And now you have an arm that could get it to him 50 yards through the air down the field. So I'd keep an eye out on some of those other role players as well. But I do think this offense becomes more successful the more that they can spread the ball out and the more that they can also lean on both Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray in the run game. I think you want to see a heavy dose of that as well.
The Saints made a pretty big move, you know, a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. I know it all runs together. Yes. And picking up Quan Alexander, I'm curious from your perspective, what is the hope that he's bringing to the table for the Saints defense that's been performing pretty well this year that was potentially missing that he's adding?
Yeah, I think that what he adds for you is a guy in place of Alex Anzalone that does have a presence. Alex Anzalone, the best way that I've seen him described is Cat Terrell over The Athletic, who kind of described him as just kind of being there. That's who Alex Anzalone has been so far this season, rather hot and cold, and then just kind of present. And because of that, you've seen Demario Davis take on a lot of additional responsibilities, not being able to play close to the line of scrimmage as you're used to seeing him from last year, blitzing, things like that. The moment that they got Quan Alexander in the lineup this past week, he all of a sudden took 43 snaps. Alex Anzalone went all the way down to a single snap on that game. And Demario Davis's responsibilities freed up because Quan Alexander could be trusted in coverage. I think that you'll continue to see him work in that. He was up and down, right? It was his first start with the team. No terrible plays, no phenomenal plays, but his ability to just sort of be that, I'll say, key in diagnosing, that click and go type of a guy to flip that switch in the run game is something that really, really benefited this team as well. Just that tenacity and that energy. And it freed up Demario Davis to do a little bit more. So I do think that you'll see maybe a little bit more Quan Alexander in this game in his second start, maybe some additional responsibilities in blitzing and getting, playing a little bit more in the backfield. But he's doing a very good job for this team in terms of covering tight ends. That's why I kind of nodded earlier when you talked about Hayden Hurst, who is somebody that I was very concerned about, but I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable with Quan Alexander in the lineup. And I think that that's the type of comfort that you get with having him in New Orleans now.
Now, Ross, my last question is about the Saints secondary. And I know early in the season that they were dealing with a lot of penalties and guys not necessarily performing up to expectations. I'm curious now that they are potentially facing a big challenge in Julio Jones as well as potentially Calvin Ridley, should he be healthy this weekend? How do you feel about, what's your level of confidence with this secondary's ability to match up?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is probably the biggest test that they've had since a couple of weeks ago where the switch looked like it flipped for them. And especially coming up against Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and even Russell Gage, who's getting involved in the slot, those guys all being able to come in here rested off of a bye week as well, going up against the Saints. I think that's something to consider. I do think that the Saints secondary is talented enough to hang with these guys, but it's going to be all about the execution. Some of the things that they had trouble with earlier in the season were execution, eye discipline, general discipline in terms of hanging with motion in the backfield pre-snap, as well as people crossing formations post-snap. So all of that will be stuff to watch. But I do feel pretty confident in this team in terms of the names and the people on paper. But it'll be really interesting to see how it is that the Falcons try to scheme up against a defense that's shown some vulnerability, particularly on the back end and with the safeties giving up. I think it's 740 plus yard plays at this point in the season, particularly in the passing game. So it'll be interesting to see how they try to take advantage of that. And the Saints, of course, will need to be at their best in order to hang with these talented receivers.
Well, that will do it for me, Ross, with today's Crossover Thursday. I always appreciate having these conversations with you, and I look forward to doing it again in 2 weeks or so, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be no time before it's all over. We'll be able to recap this game and preview the next one, probably.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, y'all. One more big thank you to Aaron Freeman at FalcFans on Twitter, helping me break down this Saints and Falcons matchup on Sunday. We're not done, though. Make sure you come back tomorrow. Catch myself and Saints legend, former running back Deuce McAllister, breaking down this game. Big shout out to Crown Royal for helping to make that partnership happen. Now that you're done here, go ahead and check out Jake Madison over at Locked On Pels. The NBA draft is finally wrapped up. Go hear more about who the Pelicans selected and what it means for the team moving forward and the bright future that they've got with Stan Van Gundy steering the ship over there with Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, and new additions upcoming all throughout. I appreciate you as always for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Hootat Nation, I'll holla at you.